So I want to talk now about what we just discussed and what we looked at with scriptures that showed that Jesus was the branch. Okay, what does that mean? He was the branch of the Father. He was not the life and the root and the everything. He was the branch through whom the Father worked. I can do nothing of myself. You did it on the Sabbath. And he said, no, I didn't. You know, my Father did it. And all of this is showing forth, how they operate, which is the foundation of the city of Dun. They are the foundation of all of that, simply based on their nature and the way that they are to one another. And they spread it down to the earth. Okay. So now I want to talk about Jesus becoming the vine instead of being a branch.
Amen.
All right. Because it's got to manifest somehow, doesn't it? All right. So you know where it's at. John 15. I wrote down, in his resurrection, Jesus becomes our land of Dun. Well, that in his resurrection, that was the manifestation of it, wasn't it? The resurrection was a manifestation of the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And as the scripture we read last night, David foresaw this and saw the resurrection of Christ. Yep.
Wow.
So that's why I'm saying there's really so much here. I don't, you know, there's no way that I expect you to get everything. There is no way. But I believe that God is doing something, and he set it forth, and no man did this, and I didn't do it. And so he knows where he's going to take this, and he's going to tend to it. He'll tend to his garden. So don't worry again. Don't worry. Go, I didn't get it all. I didn't get it. Sorry. I've been a pastor too long. Okay. Jesus becomes the vine. We are the branches now.
Yes.
So it's supposed to be the same thing. Supposed to be the same thing, okay? In his resurrection, Jesus becomes our land of Dun. But in truth, the resurrection was a manifestation of what they settled a long time ago. Yes, that's good. I'm proud of y'all for grabbing that one. John 15, 1 through 9, you know most of this. I just don't want to, let me look here. Gosh, I really want to try to get as much of this to you. Well, let's go ahead and read John 15:1. So now Jesus is no longer the branch. He's lived in accordance with what God established and settled in their heart before the foundation of the world, based on the wisdom of God in a mystery that was not revealed to us in generations and da 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 da, but now is being made known. He made it known to Paul. He's making it known to you. What a blessing. Okay, so, verse 1. I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. He's still under. But he's been promoted so that we could be brought in. He's been promoted from branch to vine so that we could be branch. Okay. My Father is a husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So he is constantly working on us coming into root land now, if you want to call it, his roots. His roots will bring forth fruit. Stop trying to bring forth fruit. You can take a break a branch off of any tree, fruit tree, and water it and pet it and whatever else, and it'll not bring forth fruit. You know, it has to be connected to the vine and to the roots. And the vine is the manifestation, and the roots are solid, solid rock. They're from before the foundation of the world. All right. So he's purging with intention of cutting stuff off that's in unbelief. He wants us to get this. He wants fruit from life that we don't have. Okay. So now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Okay, so that's it. Class over. abide in me. See? You see it there? Abide in me. Now this isn't do right. This isn't, you know, figure it all out deeply. Just trust that before the foundation of the world, that land of done is there, and everything you're reading in the scriptures like this is a manifestation of that, because Jesus is manifesting it from there, and he doesn't seem as worried as we do.
That's right.
All right. So, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Why do you keep trying to do something? You know, why don't you just sit back and go, you know what? I love you, Lord. I want you to reveal it to such a degree that I won't be faking myself out, but I don't want to go back to trying to do it myself. And that's in the parables. So let's skip down now to, well, let's go to Proverbs 11:28. Okay, so this verse is going to give us the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God in a mystery. It's two wisdoms. And that's been throughout what we've been talking about. Very simple verse, Proverbs 11, verse 28. You ready?
Yes.
He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Okay, so the riches here isn't talking about having a bunch of money per se. It's talking about you thinking that you're doing good because I go to church and I read my Bible and I've done this and that, and you know, I helped organize a children's thing and da 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 da, and I'm just full of riches and I don't even have to worry. Jesus is gonna see me and go, "Oh my God, it's you." That's called deception.
That's right. Yeah.
But why is there deception? It's not the devil coming and deceiving them. They are deceived about themselves.
Yeah.
They think that it resides within them.
Right.
So they're going, "Oh, okay, I'll do this, you know, and let me do this." You know, they have all these plans and all this kind of stuff. Well, you can do all those plans if God planted the desire in your heart, and he will give you the wherewithal to do that.
Yes.
You don't have to worry about it. But if you're just a go-getter for no reason, but you want to just, you know, then you are, but he that trusteth in his riches shall fall. Now you notice it didn't say he that trusteth in his riches shall be destroyed and cut into a million pieces and burned one little piece at a time and then stomped on with the devil's feet, you know, and all this kind of stuff. It doesn't say that. It says he'll fall. There is a way to get back up. Just be a branch and let Jesus be the life. And trust that's what he's doing.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Isaiah chapter 60. And I don't apologize for making you scripture searchers. In some of your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 60 has dust on it.
It was pre-dusted.
Meaning you read that chapter before we got together here. You were predestined to do this. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 21. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. Yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, it's talking about that they shall be righteous. They shall inherit the land. They are my planting, and it's not their doing. The work of my hands is really what they're working by and on and through, that I may be glorified. All right, 2 Corinthians 4:7. And I'm glad I'm giving you these scriptures, because if you go back and listen to this, you'll have a little more chance to stop and think about it. You know, I'm sorry I'm going a little fast, but I know it's, of course, nobody's complaining yet, but.
No.
Okay. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You know that. You love that part. How about this part? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. See, I've heard so many people, not here particularly, but some, that talk about, well, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, but it's there not so that we can walk around as a dirt vessel and say, look what I got. I got Jesus in here. He's so pretty, you know, and stuff like that. You know, but that the excellency of the power may be of God, not just Jesus.
Of God. Of God.
This is shooting you back to before time. Okay. And then he just expresses it plain out. And not of us.
Hallelujah.
And not of us.
Hallelujah.
What does that mean?
Not of us.
You know, if I have to explain that. All right. So let's go to Romans chapter 5. Are these good scriptures for helping us to continue to see it in different places? Okay, Romans 5, verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy, and here's the phrase that got me, in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received. Look at it close. It's good. It's, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we, it's almost like a circle. But we, start at the top with we, also joy in God. Then you move over here to God, through our Lord Jesus Christ back here. And then, if you will, by whom we now have received. It's gone full circle, and it's and don't most picture most people that you know picture God see him as a ever never ending, you know. So we joy in God, and it's the in God. That's not like on this earth.
Yeah.
That's like above in God.
Yeah.
We joy in God. And that's not singular. Jesus did this work for me. This is based on not a work, not even a work before time, based on God, who really and truly is that work before time. Okay. So then he says, joy in God through, so we can't even do that on our own. I mean, what if that was really true and we, without him, we could do nothing and therefore we couldn't even joy in God unless we did it through Jesus Christ? Well, he's going to joy in the Father. Okay. And then by whom we have received, and it, yes, it says the atonement, but in truth, we have received all based on what was done before the foundation of the world. Okay, John 3:21. This is another in God, not for God. I'm going to say it again. In God, not for God, or even by God, but by Jesus Christ, but in God. Yeah. All right. John 3:21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. That his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Want me to read it again? But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Why? That his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Okay. So I wrote down doing truth, you know, he that doeth truth, doing truth is coming to the light. He that doeth truth cometh to the light. So doing truth is coming to the light. What light? What does it show? What does the light show? It shows that their deeds are just manifestations.
Amen.
Says it right here.
Yeah, that's right. That's so good.
Okay. And then, let's see, are just manifestations. Manifestations of what? That they were first wrought in God.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the land of done, or which is the promised land that is full of milk and honey.
Amen.
Let's talk about the promised land. Ready?
Yeah.
Exodus 3:17. And I'm going to give you three sets of scriptures, I think, here. Exodus 3:17. I want you, through these scriptures that I'm going to give you, I want you to see God's, especially when we've gone through all three of them, to see God's excitement about this promised land. He's really excited to give it to us. All right, Exodus 3:17. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt, amen, unto the land of Canaan, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Well, we know that, so let's expand on that. Numbers 13:23. And we're going to expand after we read this one, too, because we need to not only see an expansion of message, if you will, but an expansion of God's incredible excitement about this land. So can I say at this point, what if this land is the land of Dunn?
Amen.
Full of milk and honey.
Yes. Yep.
Yep. All right, here we are. Numbers 13, verse 23 and 24.
Numbers 13?
Yep. 23 and 24. And they came into the brook Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch. A branch had one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. This thing was so big and so many grapes on one branch that it took two guys to carry it between a pole.
Wow.
Okay. And they brought of the pomegranates and the figs. Verse 24, the place was called the Brook Eshcol. It became because of the cluster of grapes, which the children of Israel cut down from there. So now remember, these guys, this is the guys, the spies sent out by Moses to check out the land and come back and give a report. These are the guys that are bringing back fruit that is so large and so beautiful and so much, and they're griping about the land, and they're not wanting to enter in. Mm-hmm. Why?
Because of the giants.
Well, and because they want to go back to what they
yeah.
It's their deal. They're in the driver's seat. Okay, and so now the good one here is Deuteronomy chapter 8. Okay, Deuteronomy 8, verse 7 through 14. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water. Now think about the land of Dunn and what all it is full of, okay? A good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and the hills. And you're not even having to go dig the water out or dig a well or anything. This thing is just, and then the fruit. So brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. You getting it right there? Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, when thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. All right. But there is a warning. And it should be, because if we don't really realize that this is all free, you know what I mean? You step in this land, and this is all free, and this is all the goodness of his heart from before the foundation of the world. He wanted to make it so you wouldn't have to worry about a thing. You could be with him. You could be with him in joy. And be with him in heart. So here's the next verse is the warning. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Okay. It's not just the Lord, thy God. Don't forget your God. In not keeping his commandments, and it's not talking in that land, the commandments are enjoy. You know what I mean? I mean, it is. It's not trying to get you to go back to the law.
Right.
Jesus came to do away with that so we'd have his life, enjoy his life.
That's right.
Okay. So, in not keeping the commandments and judgments and statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and are full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So there's that. What is it saying? It's saying, don't go back to living your life here in trying to produce something that he says, you know, that this isn't where, this is the place of manifestation. If we can't be fixated on him. And what Jesus did at the cross, which is what he did before the foundation of the world, when the Lamb was slain, before you had a need, before you were born, before you were even created, before he had it all prepared for us. Don't forget him. Don't go back to you. All right. So I wrote, what is the danger? Is it you will do some sin and lose it? Good for you, good for you, good for you. No, it's not about you'll do some sin and lose it. He didn't say don't sin or you'll lose it. Well, then we're going to lose it. That's why it's called grace. All right. Number two. So number one, will you do something and lose it? No. Number two, will you stop operating from the place of done and go back to self-consciousness and works which are contrary to the land the Lord provided before time? That's pretty quick. I'll read that part again. will you stop operating from the place of done and go back to self-consciousness and working which are contrary to the land and the Lord, that the Lord provided before time. All right. So I'm getting close here. Hang on. Or go to sleep. You're still going to, you know, be fine. It's fine. Matthew chapter 5. Well, actually, this one is... Yeah, we'll do this one. Because this has parables in it. Matthew 5:13 through 20, starting with verse 13. We already mentioned this, but let's see what we're going to get, because this is given the larger picture. You are the salt of the earth. And one of the things I did when I was going through the parables was I noticed it kept saying, you are the light of the world. You are. So it's like, it's already settled. But then we go and we lose our savor, you know, when we lose our purpose and start doing stuff ourselves and trying to be something or whatever. All right. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden underfoot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, that they may see your good manifestations and glorify the Father, because you didn't do it.
Right.
You only manifest. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all those that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. I know this is probably scaring you now, right? Don't be. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. All right. So, We talked about salt existing without its purpose. Verse 14 and 15 brought about light, talked about light. What's the problem with it? It exists without letting them see your good works, which are wrought in God, so that God gets the glory.
Amen.
That's,
yes.
Read it. That's what it's saying.
Yep.
Okay. And then verse 17, he did not come to destroy the law that, but, well, I wrote down the earth way, which is the law. Because it's you're doing that. And, okay. So he didn't come to destroy the law or the earth way, but to bring to it the fulfillment that happened before time, which is the light.
Yep. Amen.
Which is the light. Don't cover it up.
That's right.
Don't, you know, don't forget it. Don't Amen. Think that it's, you know, it's just some passing thing. It is always true. Okay, and then verse 18 and 19, the works method will continue by us until we see all fulfilled in the land of done.
Hallelujah. Amen. That's so good.
Yeah. So don't teach them in a way that men can possibly break them. For this is least. But do by manifesting and teaching, do it by teaching it is done.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay. And it'll be good to go back over this so that you can really compare the two. And then verse 20, the land of done is where you find your righteousness. He said, accept your righteousness, exceed that of the Pharisees and all that. The land of done is where you find your righteousness and will exceed the version of righteousness taught by the Pharisees, which is shape up, do good, don't mess up. You know, you're thinking thoughts you shouldn't be thinking, da da da, all this kind of stuff. Because that was the righteousness of the Pharisees. But that's not the righteousness of those who dwell in the land of done. Okay, Romans 10, verse 2 through 8. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. Okay, so what does that mean? There are genuine-hearted people in churches. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
We're not better than them. It has nothing to do with, you know, if anybody's better than them, it's the Lord and it's what's done, you know, already. But that's not us. We're just accepting something. What great, you know, work is that? Mm-hmm. And yet to accept it is everything.
Yes.
But they have a zeal for God. And you know, we need to honor that. You know, instead of look down on them or put them down or whatever. So I just think that's important. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, okay, so what knowledge? It would be the wisdom of God. Okay. So, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, which is in the land of done, are going about to establish their own. Well, I'm going to be good this week and God will, you know, let me in heaven. A week worth? I don't think so. Anyway. going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So there is a submission, isn't there? But it's not submitting to trying to be righteous, but to accept it as done by him. Okay. Have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. So do you see what it's not saying to everyone that believes that Jesus died on a cross and saved you from your sins. To everyone that believed, the word believe there is not referring to Jesus dying on the cross and saving you from your sins. It is referring to the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. And that's the standard. And Jesus, what Jesus did is a manifestation of that. And you have to go back to the source. That's eternal. It shall not be moved. You know, people can come in, they can write a different version of your Bible. Teachers, preachers can say all kind of stuff that goes in all sorts of direction, but that will always be the same. Okay. So righteous, let's see, verse 5. For Moses, okay, I guess it's verse 4 then. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness and everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. In other words, if you're going to be under the law, you have to keep everything that it says. All the commandments, all of the things, you have to, you have to stay up with it. And so, yeah. I mean, you're going to need it even more than good luck. You're going to need to be dead and let Christ live in you. So, shall live in them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Oh, it is wise. Amen. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. So we're going, oh Lord, if you just come down, you know, just come down to me here in my prayer room. Just fill my prayer room. Well, sometimes he does that, but I question that we should be doing that if we really understand. First of all, I mean, he's already here. He lives in us. You know, oh, Jesus, pop out of me and stand before me. What?
Exactly. Well said.
He would say, that's further away.
Yeah.
So it's only this far away.
Yeah.
He'd go, it's still further away. I'm in you.
Yeah.
All right. Do you ever hear these kind of sayings that I say when I preach? Anybody else preach like this? But at least, I mean, it is the truth. So he says, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Verse 7. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up again from the dead. So, you know, it's like, well, I want to be dead. You know? So then somebody says, well, you are. Jesus put you to death. Oh, good. And then you go do something wrong. And then you go, I'm not dead yet. Sorry, that's Monty Python. you know, bring out your dead. You know, and that's what the guy said on the wagon when he threw him. Now, I'm not dead yet. See that? So he hit him over the head and he's dead. Anyway, my point is that we keep running back, trying to find the place where we can be assured that we're dead so that it's all done. But it's in the city of Dan, which was made before the foundation of the world. And if I didn't tell you, the reason why I felt the Lord told me to say the land of Dan or the city of Dan, use those kind of terms, knowing full well that it's God and it's what's done in God and done in God's heart and done by the Lamb slain. The reason why I felt like it is because I think many Christians, you go, well, it's done in Christ. And there's some sort of religious deal that is so ethereal that you can't go there. You know, you're trying to and you want to, but it's like, okay, it's done in Christ. You know, so let's bring him back from the dead or something like this is talking about. But if you understand it, and again, it's not to understand it as a land or a whatever, but if you can think of it that way, it'll bring you to the right place. And then you'll see that it is wrought in God and it is finished. And it was finished before the works were done before the foundation of the world. And it says that. So, verse 8. But what saith it? Finally, we get to what it really says. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So remember, somebody said to me, how are you doing today? You know, well, I'm in Christ. I'm born again. I'm a son of God. I'm headed for heaven, glory. And you're not, you know, I know that charismatics can, you know, start rattling off stuff like that. But there is a reality in God that he would love for us to start identifying with what he says is the truth,
yes,
instead of some sort of mantra that, you know,
that's right,
that, you know, Christians shoot out there to look or seem spiritual. And the goal is not that we become looking spiritual. The goal is that we be found in him, not having our own righteousness,
right,
which is of the law, which is great. All right, so, but what saith the word is nigh thee in thy mouth and in thy heart? That is the word of faith. All right, and then that one more scripture, and then we shall overcome. We shall overcome. We need candles. 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yay, awesome.
There we go.
Mm-hmm. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober in the sense of be serious with this. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be. It is to be. You see that? It's not going to be, but it's good to gird up the loins of your mind in this way so that, you know, the reality of it will hit you as reality instead of good teaching or whatever. Hope to the end. To that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Father, when you hear our prayers,
yes, thank you, Jesus.
I know that I'm a foolish man, but I also know that you're not, and that you are our hope, and that you are everything that counts, and everything that that you want. You want this. You want it more than we want it.
Yes, Lord.
And you wanted it so that we could have security, so we could have rest, so we wouldn't have to be wrestling all the time like Jacob did until he became Israel. Well, we're wrestling, but we want to become Israel. We want to become prince with God based on what's done. And Father, I know that life on this earth has many distractions, many. And I know that we have jobs and we have children and we have things like that that will pull, and things to get done, and especially even more since we've been gone. But you can talk to us in the midst of those things.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we could just look at one verse and then go do those things and meditate on it while we're... We really love you, Jesus. We really love you, Father and Holy Spirit. We have glimpses and inklings of your selflessness. We see it, though. Thank you for having a manifestation so we could see it in the Lamb laying down his life.
Yes.
on the cross. And Father, to have you have the Holy Spirit visit us. And to, and we don't even want to try to think in terms of why you did it in relationship to us. We just want to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And Holy Spirit, old dove of God, you have just fluttered around this room and circled and dived and everything in such a special way, because this, all that has been shared, could just go over our heads and just be nothing, end up being nothing. But there you were, there you are, there you are now. I know that what we have had here of you in times past, and who those who have been with us, you are setting that forward. You are setting it forward. This is a new time. This is a time ordered of your timing. Father, just this circle is your circle. It's your people. And I sense that there is a greater joining that has taken place, a heart joining, a spirit joining, a agreement in word joining, a rise of the tides. So we say, whatever's in your heart, then you do it. Whatever's in your heart, we will be with you, because life without you would be nothing. So, Father, we're deeply grateful to you.
Yes.
Thank you for giving us your Son. Thank you for you and your Son and the Holy Spirit sat there and, as it were, drew out a map called the Land of Dun.
Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Before we were even born, before anyone was ever born, you were thinking about us and taking care of us.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.